To another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, we got Mr. Devin.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
So this week, I had Devin watch a movie. It was my attempts at a... Oh, what did I call it? Redemption.
Redemption?
Yeah, it was my attempt at a redemption movie. It starred a lot of the same people. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then I wanted to go, because by the time you guys are listening to this, it is Friday, and today the new season of Diablo starts, Diablo 3. So I'm going to touch upon a couple of the things for those of you who play that game that you can look forward to. I'm hoping that if you haven't already read about it yet, I'm hoping that when I go over it, it might entice you to play a little bit into this season.
Why do you say that? Like, I don't play Diablo.
No. I'm not saying that you don't play Diablo. I know that, especially with the seasons, it's very much based off of...
Oh, no, I love all the seasons. I did not like last season.
Well, that's the thing. Last season, I didn't play much. I got my guy to 70. I don't even think I unlocked the last season
is very boring to me.
Because there was like the little circles on the ground that you had to step in. It was very, I didn't care for last seasons, but I'm hoping I can entice you with this season with what they have, because there's actually a challenge within the season amongst the already challenges that they give you. This is like a little hidden gem challenge, and I'm curious to see what it is. I'm going to try, as far as the season goes, I'm going to try not to read spoilers on it, because I want to find out for myself. I might need help making it happen, but we'll get to that part.
Mm-hmm.
So, the movie I had you watch, I got the sense that, first off, it's called Little Hours. It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the cast of this movie, just some of the cast of this movie, you have Alison Brie, Dave Franco, Aubrey Plaza, John C. Reilly, Molly Shannon, Kate Micucci. I don't know how to pronounce that last name. So it has quite a few of the people from Life After Beth.
Apparently they're just an acting troupe now.
Yeah. I have a sense from when you were talking to me about it that you found it more entertaining than Life After Beth, but was still possibly unimpressed overall.
I'm not saying I'm unimpressed. The thing about this movie was this. I did not find it as enjoyable as you, but I will say this. It was one of those movies where if I were in the mood for that kind of movie, then it'd be all good. You know what I mean?
It does have
the mood for that kind of movie.
It does have like the dry humor, like a Napoleon Dynamite-esque type of dry humor.
Which is totally fine. Which is a totally a fine movie, and like I like those kind of movies too. It's just it was literally just one of those situations where I was just sitting there like, yeah.
Did you also notice that it had our man what's his name?
What's his name? Yeah, I know you're talking about.
From Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't remember his actual name, though. Nick Offerman.
Yep. Nick Offerman.
So, this is a strange movie. I watched it with Ross. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, when the movie ended, I did look at Ross and I said specifically, this movie is one that I would recommend, but I would not be able to really truly explain what the movie's about. So I still don't really know. There's different plots intertwining, and I don't know what the overall plot was supposed to be. But essentially, there's a group of nuns. All the female cast essentially plays nuns in this movie. And then John C. Reilly plays the head of a parish, I guess they're called. And keep in mind, this is set in the 14th century. This is set in 1340 something. The movie opens up with two nuns talking, and then just their farmhand guy, the guy who does a lot of the farming and work around the parish.
It was a very stupid movie. In terms of in general, the movie had 0 point. It reminded me of those movies from the 70s. In the 60s, where it was just a really vaguely stupid plot and just an excuse to show boobs. That's the whole movie. And that's really what it was. And you had nuns that were just dropping F-bombs for no reason.
That was hilarious.
I mean, it was funny. It would have been more funny, I'm sorry, if it wasn't Aubrey Plaza. I like Aubrey Plaza, but she plays the same character in every movie because she's the same. She just plays herself. She's like Keanu Reeves, where he plays the same character in every movie. He's just Keanu. But the thing is, he's found his niche in that he acts in action movies.
Right.
So it's okay.
Are you saying Aubrey Plaza should try acting in action movies?
No, she should just stick to horror films or whatever she. Whatever genre, I don't watch more of her movies off the top of my head, and I remember some of her films.
No performance
from Aubrey Plaza reminds me, gives me a feeling of this is good. This is quality stuff. I don't have a standout performance from Aubrey Plaza.
I'm curious. I didn't care for these movies when I was younger because they frightened me, but I'm curious to see the new Child's Play movie that she's in to see if she does portray that different role. Because, I mean, you're not wrong. A lot of the roles she's in, if you've seen her in Parks and Rec, that's pretty much all the roles that, that's how she is in most of her roles. I'm curious to see how she acts in Child's Play, it being a horror movie. But, I mean, it is what it is. I loved the fact that these nuns were just so abusive right off the bat.
If the cast wasn't the cast of this movie, would you have enjoyed the movie as much as you did?
Probably. Even if it was just full of people that I did not know. I don't know. This movie, it tickled the funny bone in just the right way for me when it needed to. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, again, I can't really describe why I liked it or what it was really about. There's too much shit happening. There's witches in this movie. Yeah. And then a bishop or something? The Monsignor. Mm-hmm. Or whatnot, who came in at the end. He's that guy from Portlandia, right? I don't know that guy's name either.
I think so, yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah, Fred Armisen. Mm-hmm. So he essentially comes in right around the time where all hell is breaking loose. But to run down a long story short, for those of you who haven't seen it and maybe want a little bit, Dave Franco's character is one of the main characters. He was a servant at a castle. He gets run out, essentially running for his life. Gets taken in by this priest who tells him to act as a deaf mute around all the nuns because the nuns essentially ran off the last handyman by treating him very poorly. And then all of the nuns start trying to have sex with him for various reasons.
For no reason.
Well, they had their various reasons. Like, Alison Brie's character was wanting to find her, the guy who would swoop her off her feet and carry her away, and, you know, she wanted a suitor. Aubrey Plaza's character wanted him as part of a ritual because she's a witch. Kate Micucci or Masucci realized that she was more into girls and she just was high on drugs when she tried having sex with him. But in any case, he ends up getting cast out, and the Father Tommaso, Father Tommaso ends up getting banished, and Bishop Bartholomew, or I don't remember his name, Bishop Bart, I think is what I called him the whole movie. He pretty much just wiped everybody clean, gave everybody their penance, and that was essentially the movie. There's not a lot to this movie.
No.
But yeah, it's technically a medieval, it's considered a black comedy film. I don't know what that means, really. I guess it's just a style of film.
Black comedy is like, I guess, like politically incorrect comedy would be the best way to describe it.
It is loosely based off of two stories in a collection of novels. How loosely? I don't know. But, I mean, this was not completely written up by some harebrained guy. I mean, this was actually taken from a book. You can go on to the Wikipedia page. It's literally, the plot is essentially like one paragraph long. And that's it.
True statement.
Oh, yeah. The Sister Ginevra or whatever took Belladonna. That's what made her go fucking batshit insane. So, all right. I don't know how much it made. It got a 78% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
For some reason.
Hey, I don't know. I liked it.
It's not bad.
I'll preface it this way. I probably wouldn't go out of my way to watch it again, but I also won't go out of my way to watch Napoleon Dynamite again.
I hate Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh.
But I grew up in the era when it came out, I was in high school, and it was like getting quoted every day.
Right.
And then I just wanted to punch people in the face every time they quoted Napoleon Dynamite.
Well,
so yeah.
I'm curious, and I want to know from the listeners, for those of you out there, go give this movie a shot. I do recommend this movie. I want to know what your guys' thoughts are on the movie, especially if you joined us and you watched Life After Beth. I'll give you that.
It's better than Life After Beth.
I feel personally that I have not yet redeemed myself to Devin. So I will seek out another movie.
Hopefully not with Aubrey Plaza.
I will attempt to make it not have Aubrey Plaza, but it will be It's going to be another movie that no one really knows about.
I will keep searching out Aubrey Plaza movies.
Yo, Devin, here, watch this episode of Parks and Recreation. This is my redemption episode.
I like Parks and Rec.
It's my redemption episode.
Parks and Rec and Community is my jam.
That is my personal challenge. Until I feel like I've fully redeemed myself for the Life After Beth debacle, to Devin personally debacle. For having made him watch.
I like how you called it a debacle.
It was a debacle. The movie was trash.
it was a debacle.
It was. So until I personally feel like I've made that up to you, I'm going to be on the hunt. Yeah, so, I mean, those are all the people. I mean, that's all I really have to say about this movie. I would recommend. I cannot tell you what it's about, really. So go watch it. It's on Netflix. Little Hours. The only thing I didn't really care for about it was sometimes the music was really too loud. Like, you had to turn it up for the dialogue, then all of a sudden they'd play really loud, high-pitched music, and I had to turn it down. I didn't like it. So, that's it for Little Hours. Alright. So, Diablo 3. This season is season 19. It is the season of Eternal Conflict. It starts November 22nd, which is today for the listeners. Now, the theme. Every season has a theme. Last season, we didn't really care for it. It was the one where they put, like, the circles on the ground, and you had to stand in it and whatever, and it just wasn't great. So, Devin.
Mm-hmm.
Season 19, the theme this year, the theme this season. All players will benefit from the Pandemonium buff. Now, for each stack of this buff, you'll receive a small boost to movement speed and bonus damage, ultimately capping out at 50% movement speed and 100% damage at 1,000 stacks. In addition, now this is the part that I'm really looking forward to. In addition, reaching certain kill streak goals will trigger a special effect and cause even more mayhem on the battlefield. Now, I don't know, like, I don't even know if you know off the top of your head what one of your higher kill streaks have been. It gets pretty easy to get up into, like, the mid to high hundreds, at least, I feel.
Think my highest kill streak, I feel like, is, like, 400 or 500 around there somewhere.
Okay.
And that was me running solo, like, deep on my, like, Demon Hunter or something.
Right. So, at 15 kills on a kill streak, exploding chickens will seek out and destroy your enemies.
Ooh.
Okay. 30 kills, a wide frost nova will freeze your enemies. 50 kills, corpses will rain from the sky. 100 kills, 5 massive energy twisters are unleashed. 150 kills, dark geysers form beneath your enemies. 200 kills, treasure chests fall from the sky. 300 kills, a ring of fire engulfs everything. 400 kills, meteors hail from above. 500 kills, angels descend upon the battlefield to fight for your cause. And 1,000 kills, ?
Yep.
That's the part that I'm under
the impression that at 1,000 kills, they're just going to give you the keys to the game. And you win at life.
I personally think that it's going to be something along the lines of like a Diablo will follow you around for a while.
That's probably what it's going to be.
Or maybe you turn into Diablo at 1,000.
If I'm being honest, that's what it's going to be. But yeah.
Now, the thing is some of these are open-ended as far as how they're worded. Like, a ring of fire engulfs everything, or meteors hail from above. I don't know if those will affect you, or if you'll be immune to these effects. But, I mean, that's going to make it interesting on hardcore if you're not immune to these effects, and you make it up to that high of a kill streak. But yeah, they do say that we challenge you to push these kill streaks to their limits and discover its ultimate reward. We think you'll find it devilishly delightful. Now, I'm under the impression every season you get a reward, cosmetic reward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're showing two different pictures. Uh, Now they're showing two pets, either a undead evil unicorn pet or a angel loot goblin pet. Both of which look cool. I just don't know if you can get them both or if they have to be a choice.
Yeah, they get the what you got.
We're bringing back the injury.
Oh, wow. So that's cool. Beginning with this season, they're going to season 17, we began reintroducing the first time around. For season 19, there's been the awards earlier in season 7. So you can get your season 7 rewards this time around as well, which is kind of cool.
You are getting two. We're bringing back the end of journey rewards as introduced in season 17 with not one but two new cosmetic rewards for those who complete the entirety of the season journey. Feast your eyes upon the Valor portrait frame and angelic treasure goblin pet. So I think for doing just the basic part of the journey, you get the horse and those shoulders. And then after you do the basic parts of the journey, it'll ask you, do you want to continue to enlist? And then it gives you a new set of challenges to complete that me and Donnie ended up doing that one season for the wings. That was insane. And I think by doing that, you'll get the portrait frame and the loot goblin. Moving down to the Hadrix gift, every season, as you know, each class gets a set, essentially a set item, for free, depending on what class you play.
We'll have to stop.
The Barbarian this season is going to be running the Wrath of the Wastes set, which I don't know much about. I have not played Wrath of the Wastes. I think that's the Earthquake
that's
set.
The Whirlwind build, I think. It's one of the Whirlwinds, I think, let me see. The Waste, increased damage per second of Rend by 500% during Whirlwind and 3 seconds after you gain a 50% damage reduction. Whirlwind gains the effect of Dust Devil Ruin and all Whirlwind damage increased by 10,000%. So that's the Whirlwind Barb.
Oh man, I kind of maybe want to run the Barbarian now. the Crusader is running the Roland's Legacy set. Which the Roland set.
That's the Shield Bash set, I believe.
Sweep Attack and Shield Bash.
You like I rolled my ashes? I was like, that's the Shield Bash That's the Shield Bash set.
Every cast of Shield Bash and Sweep Attack that hits an enemy reduces the cooldowns of laws and defensive skills by 1 second. Increase the Shield Bash and Sweep Attack damage by 13,000. And every cast of Sweep Attack or Shield Bash that hits an enemy grants the Crusader 75% increased attack speed and 15% reduced damage taken for 8 seconds, stacking up to 5 times. That actually sounds like a half-decent set, too.
I hate Crusaders.
You hate Crusaders? They just seem very slow.
They do. And, like, I've never had... Like, I've played them, I've never had fun playing them. And it's like... It bothers me.
Fair. The Hunter, the Demon Hunter, is the Unhallowed Essence set, which is... What is the Unhallowed Essence? Your generators generate 2 additional hatred and 1 discipline, gain 60% damage reduction and deal 60% increased damage for 8 seconds if no enemy is within 10 yards of you. And your generators, Multishot and Vengeance, deal 350% increased damage for every point of discipline you have. That doesn't seem very big for a Demon Hunter. That's all about keeping your discipline up. The Monk is the Raiment of 1,000 Storms. Let's see. The Raiment of a Thousand Storms is spirit generators have 25% increased attack speed and 400% increased damage. Dashing Strike spends 75 spirit, but refunds a charge when it does. And spirit generators increase the weapon damage of Dashing Strike to 60,000% for 6 seconds, and Dashing Strike increases damage dealt by spirit generators by 6,000%. Dashing Strike, man. That particular set for a monk's just seems like very mobile, because Dashing Strike, it's already a dash. So you're going to be moving across the field, just essentially dashing through enemies and just watching them explode as you do.
Mm-hmm.
The Necromancer is the Bones of Rathma. Which I believe is the skeleton army one. Minions have a chance to reduce the cooldown of Army of the Dead by 1 second each time they deal damage. Gain 1% damage reduction for 15 seconds each time one of the minions deals damage, stacking up to 50 times. And each active skeletal mage increases the damage of all minions and Army of the Dead by 1,000 up to 4,000%. The Witch Doctor is the Helltooth Harness, which I feel bad because the Witch Doctor is one of my favorite things, and I don't recall the Witch Doctor one. Which one's the... I thought this was the Arachthan set, but it's not. Enemies hit by primary skills, so your Acid Cloud, your Fire Bat, Zombie Charger, Zombie Dogs, your Gargantuan, Grasp of the Dead, Piranhas, and Wall of Death are affected by necrosis. Becoming slow. Oh, this is the part that I always took the two-piece set for my pet build. Because of the necrosis, they become slowed by 60% and take 3,000% damage per tick for 10 seconds. After applying necrosis to an enemy, the Witch Doctor takes 60% reduced damage for 10 seconds. So as long as your pets are attacking, you're constantly getting this 60% reduced damage. After casting Wall of Death, gain 9,000% increased damage for 15 seconds to all primary skills. So all the ones that I just listed. So this is essentially, you want to have all your pets out. You want to have piranhas on your left click, most likely, and Wall of Death on your right click.
Sounds about right.
I generally go with the Ring of Death, too, because you can put that around yourself and things can't... Or you can put it around enemies and enemies can't get out of it. So it's kind of a CC as well. Now, I wonder if that would stack, because it says after casting Wall of Death, you gain the 9,000% increased damage. But you have an item in there in the game that allows you to cast Wall of Death 3 times before the cooldown starts on it. Wonder if that would stack with that.
Who knows?
And then lastly, Wizards with the Tal Rosh's Elements set, which I believe this was one of Donnie's favorite sets. He always played the Wizard. Damaging enemies with Arcane, Cold, Fire, or Lightning will cause a meteor of the same type to fall from the sky. There's an 8-second cooldown for each damage type. Arcane, Cold, Fire, and Lightning attacks each increase all resistances by 25% for 8 seconds. So you want to rotate your... You want to make sure all your skills have a different elemental effect to them. And then essentially go through your rotation constantly. And then attacks increase total damage done by 2,000% for 8 seconds. Arcane, Cold, Fire, and Lightning attacks each add 1 stack, but do not refresh the duration of each other. At 4 stacks, each different elemental attack will also prolong the duration by 2 seconds, up to 8. So those are all the sets this season. God, I'm really... I thought, honestly, the Demon Hunter one was something different. So I think this season I'm either going to run a Barbarian or a Witch Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
What about you, Devin?
I don't know yet. I really don't.
Are you at least gonna play the season with me?
I mean, I'll play. You know, I always play. How long is a good question, but I will play.
All right. I don't think there's really anything in the patch notes. Nope. One other thing that is new to this season. I believe it was part of a release last patch. They changed around a bunch of the legendary gems. And they added some new legendary items. And reworked some of the legendary item powers. So, that's something you can look forward to, because I know you haven't played since they did that. All right. Well, I mean, that's all I got to talk about. These are the only two things I had on my list.
Well, I mean, I got one thing I want to say. You're been walking by a kid and the kid laughs, and then you think to yourself, yeah, I kind of want to punch this kid in the fucking mouth because he's laughing at me. Even he may not be laughing at you. You kind of just want to punch him in his fucking mouth. You know what I mean?
I honestly say that's never happened to me, only because kids generally don't laugh around me. I don't look like a very approachable person. I mean, for people who know me, maybe. But, yeah, I don't think I'm very approachable to other people. Why, does that happen to you a lot?
No, not a lot. Just happened to me earlier.
Do you have the urge to punch children laughing in the face constantly?
Rob, about the same amount that you have urge to choke hookers out in alleys, so there we go.
Oh, man, we both have problems. Yours will probably put you in jail, though. Granted, mine might put me in jail, but they'd have to find them first. And care enough.
Mine will put me in jail for minor assault. Yours will put you in jail for murder. So, I mean, I think I still win.
Yeah, but they're hookers. I don't think they count.
They definitely count.
I don't know, Devin.
They definitely count.
If you kill a hooker in the woods, but no one's around to hear it, did it happen?
Webby, I had this conversation, not this exact conversation, but you know the old saying of, oh, if the tree falls in the forest, didn't happen.
Me and you have had this conversation, this exact conversation.
And you want me to put a positive spin on this whole conversation? I will.
Yeah.
Okay, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's around to hear it, did it fall? The answer has to be yes. You know why the answer has to be yes?
Because they stated that it fell in the forest at the beginning of the question?
No, no. That's not why it has to be yes.
Okay.
It has to be yes for a very good reason.
Okay.
And that very good reason it has to be yes is if you accomplish something in life and there's nobody around to see it, did you accomplish anything? The answer is yes. So you have to give yourself that benefit of the doubt just as much as you give that tree the benefit of the doubt.
But now, that poses an interesting question to me, though. Like, if you succeeded in accomplishing something with your life, but no one was around to see it, did you really accomplish it? Like, you don't have any witnesses. You have no one there to share that with.
But
and then you die alone.
This
and
then somebody the question else of why comes are you looking for other people to validate you?
Somebody this becomes a question comes, of why are you looking along, at other people takes to validate your research you. Because you didn't share it with somebody else.
Nope.
And then they get credit for all your goddamn hard work.
Nope.
It's fucking, I don't even know. My mind is blown right now.
Yep. I'm just sitting here waiting for one mana so I can win this game.
If somebody, okay, if somebody walked into Einstein's office and tried to steal his research and his accomplishments, and Einstein killed them, but no one was around to see it, was it really murder? I'm going to take that. Silence is probably not.
It was definitely murder.
Shit. But what if the person was bad?
Doesn't matter. Still murder.
Man. Well, all right. I guess no more choking hookers and alleys for me.
Pretty sure I lose. Yeah, I lose. God damn it.
You know what I lose, Devin?
What?
I lose at the game of life.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. Almost every time I play. I suck at that game so hard.
You just spin a wheel, Webby.
I know, and I have such bad luck.
All right. You mind filling air for like 2 minutes?
I mean, we're done.
Oh, okay. Well, my moment of zen was that tree analogy. You can follow me on Twitter at DMP_Pookie and on Twitch at Poo Killed Me. And as always, you can find me on eBay looking for mana.
Looking for mana. All right, guys. I'll be right back. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Jax Forestwalker, all one word. On Twitch at DM Webby, on Instagram at Patrick.Webster52, where I post some funny pictures every so often. Sorry for the short episode this week. We'll make it up to you. I don't know. I'm gonna blame it on the holidays. You know, holidays around the corner, and all people are fucking busy all the time. I don't know. I have reasons. Don't judge me. And as always, everybody, fuck Booster Gold. But not Dan Cook anymore.